Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast.
To the transgender community, I am more than willing to give you an audience, but you will not summon me. I am not bending to anybody's demands. And if you want to meet with me, I'd be more than willing to, but I have some conditions. First of all, you cannot come if you have not watched my special from beginning to end. You must come to a place of my choosing and a time of my choosing. And thirdly, you must admit that Hannah Gadsby is not funny.
Oh, man. I'm telling you what, that is Dave Chappelle, and he's so hysterical on this. I don't even know who Hannah Gadsby is. I guess she's a comic.
Yeah, LGBTQ.
Yeah, nobody cares. Nobody cares. And if he says they're not funny, they're not funny. Everybody got mad at him over that. Welcome back to the show, DanaLash.com. Good to be with you today. Make sure you go sign up for that newsletter over at Substack. This is what... So this is part of some of the wokery. I don't have this on the rundown because I had the audio, but did you guys see the way that they're trying to actually spin this? Because remember when I said that this is really difficult for the left, because when you're talking about vaccines and everything else, and cancel culture, a lot of the people now speaking up against some of this stuff are black athletes and black entertainers. I mean, there's a huge spectrum of all different beliefs and ethnicities that are speaking up about all of this stuff. And the left has no idea how to handle this, because in the past, their response has always been, well, if you disagree with this XYZ, then you're probably a racist, right? That's how they've always like discussed this stuff. But now they can't say that, because if they go after Dave Chappelle, then it's how I framed it last week. Oh, a bunch of white people are out there protesting Dave Chappelle outside of Netflix. So here's where Deadspin comes in. And Deadspin is a garbage progressive outlet, and I'm just going to make fun of them. So they have Kyrie Irving and Dave Chappelle are being used as black pawns on a white chessboard. This is literally the headline. Subhead. It's like watching two amateurs setting themselves up to fail, to fall victim to the Queen's Gambit. I've never heard of the guy who wrote this story, but I have heard of Chappelle and Irving. I never heard of the dude who's writing this story, but he's going to sit here and lecture them about being amateurs. I'm sure Dave Chappelle and Kyrie Irving are going to go cry into their money. This is a bigoted, and it's a bigoted headline. This is, and also, what the hell's a white chessboard? How do you play chess on an all white chessboard? How does that work?
It doesn't.
Yeah, I don't. I almost forgot that Deadspin was a thing. Right. Wow, that doesn't make any sense. This is when you know they're reaching so hard. It's an all-white chessboard. Nobody knows how an all-white chessboard works. That must be some kind of like supremacy chess you're playing there, dude. Nobody knows. But this guy published this like 40 minutes ago. Now, I'm still trying to show me the violence committed by Dave Chappelle's joke. Oh, wait, there was none. There wasn't any. I'm so tired of this stuff. See, this is what happens when people who are not white decide to speak against the white run leftist hierarchy, then your ethnicity and your everything is called into question. This is what I've said for 10 years. The left has tried to brand ethnicity. They've tried to brand any kind of religion. They've tried to brand all of this and make it like you cannot be authentically woman. You cannot be authentically black. You cannot be authentically Hispanic. You cannot be authentically Latino. You cannot be authentically anything or gay or whatever unless you are also a Democrat. Because once anyone in those groups starts pulling away or questioning progressive ideology, then they're nothing but amateur pawns on an all-white chessboard, as this headline so helpfully exemplifies here. That is, yeah, wouldn't an all-white chessboard, Kane notes, wouldn't it just be a big square? The hell is an all-white chessboard? I'm not quite sure. I don't know what that is. This is very, boy, I'm going to so make fun of this on Twitter later. But that's what ends up happening every single time. Whenever you see this kind of stuff. This year, Kel-Tec is celebrating 30 years of game-changing innovation and performance. A privately owned family company that began making one-of-a-kind American-made firearms in 1995. In 1999, Kel-Tec launched their brand on the scene by forever redefining the concealed carry handgun. And from that point on, Kel-Tec continues to innovate and create never-before-seen firearms. Pistols, rifles, and shotguns alike, never copying firearms, always innovating new ones. Kel-Tec believes in respect, family, the right to bear arms, and in the love we all have for our great country. They do things right. All Kel-Tec firearms are proudly made right here in America in a true family culture that embraces every employee and where people are genuinely happy to come to work. The Kel-Tec's commitment to innovation and quality truly sets them apart. Find out more about Kel-Tec firearms by visiting KelTecWeapons.com for a deeper dive on all aspects of their innovative firearms. That's KelTecWeapons.com to learn more about my friends at Kel-Tec. Kel-Tec, game-changing innovation and performance.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Kel-Tec.
Interesting. So this is breaking news coming from the Washington Free Beacon. A former Bernie Sanders advisor who is leading the push to unseat Kyrsten Sinema was indicted for embezzling money from a labor union. Chuck Rocha was still hired by the Sanders campaign even after he was convicted. Wow, it sounds like making some good choices there. They hired the best people, the Bernie Sanders folks, right? Isn't that kind of in the how it goes? They hire some of the best people. Also, here coming up, I ended up just closing. I saw an image that had all the ships that were out waiting to get into Port of Los Angeles. People were calling it a Biden flotilla or Biden boat parade. That actually, I like that. That's good. Also, looking at this, I'm going to punch Google Docs in the face is what I'm going to do. Terry McAuliffe. McAuliffe and Abrams are warning Virginians that the Commonwealth could look like Texas and Georgia if Glenn Youngkin wins. Yeah, that's a sales pitch right there. You promise? A 106-year-old Berks County woman who credits a youngling a day for longevity gets a gift from the brewery. I can't think of the word youngling without thinking of that Star Wars meme where Natalie Portman's saying, "And you killed younglings?" I can't. I go back to it. Sorry. A drunk Scott ripped a supermarket, not a Scottish person, not a dude named Scott, ripped a supermarket door off as he broke in to steal more alcohol. This is according to the Daily Record. Aaron McCullough was told he was lucky he was being spared jail. He broke in, he ripped the door off a supermarket in a desperate bid to get more booze. Aaron McCullough trashed the Aldi in North Ayrshire this October. Yeah, so he went to jail for a bit, but he's okay now. Have you seen Daily Mail had this piece? I don't like Daily Mail, but they're the only conservative really publication in Europe. So bedtime is going woke. Can you imagine sitting down and reading anti-racist baby to your kids? What? Or A is for activist? That's annoying. Teacher dragon about diversity. Feminist baby. Feminist baby sounds like a bitch. Spirit. Doing my Joe Biden whisper. Oh my gosh, there's a whole bunch of woke babies. Like, there's actually a sentence that goes, "Woke babies raise their fists in the air. Woke babies cry out for justice." Yeah, I'm really sure babies crying out for justice. Shut up. This is so dumb. Have you ever met a baby? Have you met a baby? That's why they're crying. Oh my gosh, this is so insane. They're ruining everything with the wokery. Stop it. Can you just write a compelling story? Good heavens. There's a book called No, my first book of protest. Like, woke babies is apparently like the big thing right now. It is, man, big grifting, spending G's, man, I'm telling you what. It is a very, very lucrative industry now. Oh. Little, what, are you looking at some of the titles?
Yeah, but I'm wondering, these can't be moving off the shelves as some lucrative thing. Well, who's paying for all this? There's no way that
nobody's
they're self-sustaining by publishing. It's not even possible.
Listen to this. Listen to this ridiculousness. Ready? Up, up, up on each knee, bent like half moons. Woke, baby, you are an awakened dream. The hell? Look at your fists. Fingers curled into a panther's paw, pointing up, 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 reaching for justice. Or he's stretching because it's a baby.
You're reading this to babies?
Yeah, people are, this is like a baby book. This sounds like the worst poetry I've ever read in my life. This is awful. Why is this not an, I feel like this is an SNL skit, but it's not. That's what's so dumb about this. Look, kids don't care about your stupid adult baggage. I feel like adults have forgotten what it's like to be kids. Kids don't like to be lectured. I remember even when I was a kid and I would come across books that seemed a little bit preachy. Guess what? Those were the books that we didn't read. You know the books that we read? Were like good stories. Scary stories to tell. That was my favorite book. I checked that out in the library so many times. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. That was my favorite book. There were two of them. Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark and Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark 2. They made a live action movie of it a couple of years ago. That actually wasn't too bad because the drawings were actually pretty. It was illustrated by Stephen Gamble and the illustrations were amazing because it looked like ink dropped in water. It was just fabulous. Anyway, that was my favorite book growing up as a kid. I checked that book out at the library so many times. If you would go in the library, you would just see my name like over and over and over again on the card. It was the best. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, kids like fun books. Kids like, they like fun stories, imaginative stories. They don't want to read about a baby putting their fist in a panther's paw and stretching up for justice. It's stupid. It's dumb. Stop ruining children's imaginations because you're putting your stupid adult baggage on them. Oh my gosh. I don't know how these are making money. I don't know how they're making money. And then, yeah, Kane shared with me, I can't even deal. I don't even want to talk about it. Some of the books, so there's a book called Gender Queer in Virginia school libraries, and it's literally soft porn. It's a bunch of cartoon people doing it. No joke.
Same sex.
Huh?
Same sex.
Yeah. That's exactly what it is. I mean, it's hentai. Let's just be correct, okay? This is what this is. This is nuts. But they have this book actually in their libraries, and this is the kind of stuff that Terry McAuliffe is defending. I'm not going to describe it for you. Picture the worst, and there you go. You got it. It's insane. Like, back in my day, it was Garbage Pail Kids, right? We were actually just talking about Garbage Pail Kids on break and how we can't believe like how much leaky Lindsay cards go for now. Garbage Pail Kids were where it was at. That was about as edgy as you got. But it was still fun and it was imaginative. We weren't reading books. I can't even actually in a way jokingly tell you what is in that genderqueer, the cartoon book for kids that's in Virginia. I can't. I cannot. I would have to actually put like a rated X advisory on that portion of the broadcast. That's how bad it is. But you know, I don't know how this is successful, but this is the kind of stuff. But Good Night Moon and all this other stuff, and Dr. Seuss is bad, but a dude servicing another dude in the pages of a kid's book in a Virginia school public library, totally fine. That's totally acceptable, apparently. And it's all about indoctrinating kids. Now, one of my friends, I have to share this one, talking about wokery. One of my friends, she's Mrs. L, Rhonda Izell. She's an amazing 2A activist. She was the lead plaintiff in Izell v. Chicago, and she's the founder of Chicago Guns Matter. She's the Illinois delegate for DC Project. Love this woman because she does not GAF, and she will go cut you if you want to sit here and take away her guns. I love her. But she tweeted this story yesterday, and I laughed out loud because I read it in her voice in my mind. ABC 7 Chicago said they had this story. I'm not kidding. Pollution impacting communities of color. ABC 7 race and culture reporter Will ABC 7 digs into the data, uncovering the Chicago area neighborhoods suffering the greatest impact from air pollution. What is now being done to clear the air tonight at 10? She retweets it and says, quote, damn, does anything affect any other community other than the black community? Air pollution. Let me know when the black community is the only species on the planet breathing air. Stay woke. Dana here. My listeners know I've been known to enjoy a glass of wine or two. So let me tell you about my new favorite wine club that no one's heard of before. My friends at Bonner Private Wines have put together the world's first extreme altitude wine club. And one of them almost died trying to find these wines. It's one of my best kept secrets. I have a lot of secrets. But if you like wine, I want you to give these a try. They come from these remote vineyards in Argentina up at 9,000 feet, which is actually the most isolated wine region in the world, did you know? Pop open a bottle and you're going to get blackberry, leather, smoke, a little dark cherry. And the best part is you're not paying these inflated prices that traditional big box wine makes you pay. There's no middleman. So if you enjoy wine, if you'd like to taste wine as it truly should taste, visit conservativewines.com. My listeners will get 50% off of their wine and 50% off of shipping. Just visit conservativewines.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, so, like I said, Florida Man's been a little bit busy lately. And I had a really crazy story. Oh, no, wait, here it is. This is the one I wanted. I found it. You guys remember the Little Caesars? Are they still around? Little Caesars is still around?
Yeah.
Do they still do pizza commercials?
Pizza.
Or do I just not see them anymore? Anyway, okay, so apparently there was a Florida man who walked into, he's passed away now at age 80. That's what the announcement is in Pinellas County, Florida, Tampa Bay Times. But he walked into a Little Caesars on 4th Street. This was years ago. This is how his obituary goes. And he said that he invented the pizza slogan. They didn't believe him. But it was him, Cliff Freeman.
Really?
Yeah, he's passed away at age 80. I thought he's in his hometown. He goes into the Little Caesars in his hometown and he's like, yeah, I invented the slogan. And they're like, nuh-uh. No, you didn't. Crazy. I'm surprised they didn't call police on him and it didn't like devolve into some, you know, like crazy Florida man, you know, normal Florida man story. Let's see here. In Palm Beach County, Florida, a Florida man dressed up in an Iron Man mask robbed a Florida blood bank at gunpoint. Who does this? They believed that he was a previous customer because he knew what to ask for and where the money was kept, according to WSVN. People who have information about the robbery are asked to call Broward County Crime Stoppers. I'm really sure that someone's going to call. Do people actually do that? Like, hello, I would like to tell on the person who did this crime. I would just think that, I don't know. Let's see here. I don't want to do that. Don't want to do the person who exposed themselves or this person who exposed themselves. But I will talk about how this Florida man went fishing and he really thought that he had a huge catch on the line. Christopher Sasho, 35, ended up at Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. He had to take his catch there because he was not fighting a large fish. He reeled it in and realized it was a gun tied to a brick.
Oh.
And he looked at his friend and goes, you got to be kidding me. Bruh, I found a freaking gun. That was actually the quote. That's in the affidavit.
Bruh.
I found this. Oh, my gosh. So he did. He took it to Pinellas County Sheriff's Office. They have it. They were asking. I'm sure nobody's going to come forward if they had information about this. But I do think it's adorable that it was asked. Because wouldn't that be kind of incriminating?
Yeah.
Why would anybody? Nobody's going to come forward with that. I don't know. Anyway.
And do you need to tie a gun to a brick to make it sink?
Well, apparently they did. Yeah. A 55-year-old Florida man finished first in the Florida Keys Stone Crab Claw Eating Contest for the third time. I mean, they're good to get over the fact that it's bug meat, but congrats to him.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.